years ago, a member of this church was extremely ill, seriously ill. His name is Trevor Eaves, and some of you will remember him well. And on leaving his bedroom, as he approached imminent death, he said these words to me, "Freddie, preach on the power of the resurrection next Sunday." Easter hadn't arrived. But I began to realize that that was his hope. That was his great confidence. That in the midst of imminent death, in the midst of weakness and suffering, he had great hope. Because Christ had died, and Christ was risen, and Christ would come again. It was a great comfort to him. And when I read the phrase, Philippians 3 and 10, the power of his resurrection, I read it this week, I asked the question, is it of any help to us in March 2013? Is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ of any practical, ethical, moral significance for us living in this secular world that Dowie prayed about this morning? Must we still believe it? Is it essential and vital to embrace intellectually and theologically and doctrinally? How should it impact us? For it's one thing to say, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son," and to affirm that soberly, but in order to embrace it, what does it mean? I've been told by someone in the car, "Don't walk about, don't get excited, don't do this." But it's very difficult. I haven't preached for 9 months, so everybody in Ballymoney is so happy you're getting it today. The power of his resurrection. That's what Paul says. And the phrase in the context is nestled in a statement made by the Apostle Paul, who from his prison cell in Rome shares this burning ambition. What is his burning ambition? What is Paul's burning ambition? Most think he was about 70 years of age. What's his burning ambition? Well, from the prison cell in Rome, it shows us that his circumstances may not have been as conducive for him to be optimistic, but he still has ambitions. And he has this amazing ambition. One is, he says this, "I want to know him, that I may know him." That's Christ. And in the context, verse 7 and 8, he already comes to the conclusion that everything else is irrelevant. Everything else is rubbish when contrasted with knowing Christ. Here, 30 years after his conversion, he has this great ambition, this great aspiration, this great goal, this great prize to know Christ. In fact, he says in verse 8, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ." He's so determined, verse 14, to win the prize. Verse 13, he forgets what is behind and he strains for what is ahead. The Greek word here is interpersonal relationship. It conveys more than an academic affirmation of the bodily resurrection, though that is necessary, but it's an intimacy, a personal intimacy of a person. I grew up, Linda and I grew up in the Church of Ireland. And every Sunday morning, we would say the Apostles' Creed. Some of you will remember it. I thank God for it. I believe in God, the Father, mighty maker, Jesus Christ, his Son, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary, was crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead, according to the Scriptures. And while that was verbalized by us all, it was only words. But later at the age of 17, I was to articulate with confidence from my heart. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It reminds me of Romans 10 and 9, that if I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. And I was. Came from the heart. So this knowledge is not only cerebral, but personal, whereby my affections are involved. It's beyond the contents of the brain. Do you know Christ this morning? This Easter morning, do you really know the Lord Jesus? I know David Cameron. I know a lot about him. But I don't know him. Knowledge is more than information here. It's transformation. It's more than memory. It's more than ticking a box. It's my mind. It's my heart. It's my will embracing Christ. And Paul is saying at the end of his life almost, I want to know him. There is a depth of knowledge and intimacy that I need to know Christ. Do you know him? This Easter morning, do you know Christ by faith? For Paul could say that Christ was a living Savior. He was no longer dead. He was a living Savior. For he says, chapter 121, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a double-headed coin. I just can't lose. To live here is Christ, to die is gain. Christ's death upon the cross achieves our reconciliation to God. So his desire for himself is likened in his prayer for them and us in chapter 1, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Think of Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, 1 John 1, Revelation 1, Hebrews 1. It's all about depth of insight in knowing Christ. Paul has abandoned putting confidence in the flesh or depending upon external religion. His understanding, his knowledge has got to be experiential. It's got to be practical. It's got to be real. Are you growing? Are you growing in this experiential, practical, real relationship with Christ? Am I? You can know Christ this morning by trusting in him, exercising repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul's initial saving knowledge of Christ became the basis of a lifelong pursuit of an ever deeper knowledge of his Savior. His regeneration led to renewal. And he wants every day, every week, he wants to know Christ. He doesn't want to become a grumpy old man. He doesn't want to just be interested in church politics. He's had enough of that. He wants to know Christ. Maybe you've got sidelined. Maybe I have. Paul is saying that. I just want to know him. I really want this intimacy. I want this relationship. There's more of Christ to know. A year ago, Linda and I went to visit Sharon, our daughter in Oxford, and I've been reading a book, I brought it with me, Simon Ponsonby, on the subject of more. That's what the book is about. He's the preacher of New Horizon this year. I went to see him, I had coffee with him, but one morning, in his book, he tells us about George Whitfield going into Christ Church where the Queen was on Thursday. And there's a garden there. And under a tree he got before God and he says, Lord, there must be more. I think it's Tomlinson that writes that, there must be more. And he lays down, seemingly, it's recorded, that he lays down and he says, Lord, I want more. And Linda and I walked, we looked for this tree, and we found a tree. We don't know if that was the tree. We didn't lie down, but we said, Lord, we want more. Great danger. It's just to be satisfied with what you have of Christ when there's more to know. Do you sense your need for more? For those who are spiritually alert this Easter morning, those who are sensitive to the Word of God and the Spirit of God will have an appetite, a desire, a burning ambition that I may know Him. But let's be practical. How can I know Him more? How? Well, the text tells us the power of His resurrection. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. Christ's resurrection is the key that unlocks the door. Christ's resurrection is the testimony and the affirmation that there is more to know of Christ. In fact, in one of his prayers in Ephesians 1, in verse 15 to 23, Paul prays for the church. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for us who believe, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. He says, I'm praying that as a church, that you will know the same power that raised Christ from the dead, and it might be in you. In you, the hope of glory. And the only way that burning ambition can be realized is through the power of Christ's resurrection. And we have experienced it by faith, and we can experience more. Maybe we have become too smug, too satisfied, that we don't look for more. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for more of God? Paul says that I may know Him, and I know the way to know Him is through the power of His resurrection. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, dwells in me, and for these 30 years I've been a Christian. Now I'm in a prison cell with circumstances that are dark and dismal, and I have still this desire to know Him. And it's through and via the power of His resurrection. The church was birthed in resurrection power. Remember Jesus said to the disciples, John 14, I must go and the Comforter comes. And when He comes, He'll lead you into all truth. He'll testify of Me and you'll be able to do stuff you never thought. And then before He goes in Acts 1 and 8, He says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. But you need the power of the resurrection. Then in Acts 2, the Spirit fell. The church's back was against the wall. Its task was impossible. But then they had resurrection power. It's just one thing to say, I believe in God. It's one of the things to say, I believe theologically in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and so we must. But it's another thing to experience it. In my everyday life as a mom, in my everyday life as a single person, in my everyday life as an older person, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection in my humdrum world. Christ's resurrection was the greatest display of power. It revealed His absolute power over the physical and spiritual realms, Colossians 2, 1 Peter 3. And it is given to the church. The Spirit has been given to the church. The believer can experience this power. He or she can have more. Christ's resurrection assures us of victory. He was raised. What for? Our justification, Romans 4:25. He was victorious over sin. He's victorious over death. He's victorious over Satan, and He now indwells the believer. His Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am God's child, and the best is yet to be. Greater is He that is in you than him that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Him. All because of the bodily resurrection of Jesus flowing from the cross are the ramifications and the implications of a glorified Christ sending His Spirit to the church. What do you know? What do I know? What do we know of the resurrection power? It's great help for you in 2013. It's great comfort for you as you face the challenges of life, as you face the burdens of life and the difficulties of life of which Dowie prayed about so well. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection in my financial difficulties, in my marital problems, that I may know Him. I really want to know Christ in this. I'm sure that's not Jonah crying out there. He's perfect. Must be someone else's children. But you know what's linked to this power? The fellowship of sharing in His suffering. Remember I mentioned that Linda and I went to Oxford last year. We asked for more. Sharon met Simon Ponsonby last week. He was having coffee and he said to Sharon, "How's your dad?" Not that I know him that well. I just called for coffee. He gave me all his books, Happy Days. But I'm dropping his name. It sounds good, doesn't it? I know Simon Ponsonby, you know. But he said to Sharon, "How's your dad?" "Oh, I remember him, yeah." He says, "You know, he hasn't been well for 9 months." That's interesting. He says, "Tell him to read chapter 7 of the book again." Because often when you're looking for more of God, you're taken into a wilderness. You're taken into an experience that you have never had before, so that you can have more. And he's right. Absolutely. Because resurrection power is linked with a cross. It's linked with suffering. The fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, I want to know Him. Is it just all about praise? Yes. Is it? But it's about sufferings and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. The power is a fruit of the cross. He says, and I quote from page 288, "The deep things of God are learned in the fiery furnace of suffering." The deep things of God are often learned, not always learned, but often learned in the furnace of suffering. It can make you cynical, or it can make you spiritual. It can make you sour, or it can make you sweet. It may be in the church problems. It may be in your home. It may be in your work. It may be in your health. Lord, I want to know You in this. And I want to know the power of the resurrection in this. And I actually want to fellowship with You in the sharing of Your sufferings in this. The cross and resurrection are inextricably linked. Theologically, the power of the Spirit-filled life flows from the agony of a cross-shaped life. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. The 16th century Calvinistic Huguenots had a powerful symbol of a cross with a dove descending from it. If you get one, buy me one and send it to me. I'm looking for one. The cross with a dove. Salvation Army has its motto and banner, blood and fire. You can't have one without the other. Oh, I want the power of His resurrection. I want to experience new life. I want to have power in my life, in my marriage, in my singleness, in my old age, or whatever it may be. Ah, but often it's through the fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings. I don't want that. By faith, we are to appropriate the power in the midst of pain. There is no way to Pentecost except by Calvary. The Spirit is given and emanates from the cross. It's the fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings. For Christ, there was no other way. For us, there is no other way. No wonder we sing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. What's the result of all this? Becoming like Him in His death, the text says. So that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's Paul's ambition. Paul was an amazing theologian. Read the book of Romans, read Ephesians, Colossians, now Philippians, which is much more practical. And he says, I just want to know Him. I've championed His cause. I've led the churches. I've mentored the apostles. And here I am in a prison cell, shut up in my circumstances. And he says, the ambition in my heart and the ambition in my life and the longing that I have is to know Him. And I know that the only way to know Him is through the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. And the result is that I might become like Him in His death. And I may attain in the future transformation in life and then transportation for the next life. Yes, Freddie, preach on the power of His resurrection. It will help you get to know Him. You will have to share in the fellowship of His sufferings. But you will identify with Him and be like Him and look forward to the resurrection from the dead. What a Savior. He has given everything we need to live a godly, holy, powerful life.